in the greeting of the Lord's Apostle Paul in his letter to the Romans, to all in Rome whom God loves and has called to be his believers, his saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We meditate this morning on select verses from Romans chapter 4, where he uses Father Abraham as an example of what he has said so far. From Romans 4, beginning at verse 1. I'm reading from the New Evangelical Translation of the New Testament. What shall we say that Abraham, our ancestor, found as a result of his efforts, or literally according to the flesh? For if he was justified, that is declared righteous by what he did, he had something to boast about, but he could not boast before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to his account as righteousness. Now when a person works, his pay is not considered a gift, but a debt. But for the person who, instead of working, believes in him who justifies, that is, acquits the ungodly or the wicked, his faith is credited to his account as righteousness. Then jumping down to verse 13, it was not by the law that Abraham or his descendants received the promise that he would inherit the world, but it was by the righteousness of faith. Because if the law is the way to inherit, then faith has been made worthless and the promise has been made powerless. For the law brings God's anger on us. But where there is no law, there is no breaking of the law. Therefore, the promise is by faith that it might come to us as a free gift by grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the descendants, not only to those who live by the law, but also to those who only believe as Abraham did. He is the father of all of us. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. Standing before God, Abraham believed that God makes the dead live and that he calls into being that which does not exist. This is the word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, who truly is our portion, our inheritance with God, dearly redeemed children of God. Have you ever heard of someone paying off his mortgage, but then continuing to make payments for the rest of his life anyway? Have you ever heard of someone who was named as first, last, and only beneficiary of a huge fortune, changing his identity and moving away to make sure that no one could ever find him? Or what about you're walking along and you find a lottery ticket? Turns out to be the winning lottery ticket. You can hear it on the news over and over again. Here's the numbers. Somebody come forward, claim the money. And you rip it up, burn it up, and don't tell anyone. All ridiculous, right? Never happened. Dear friends, it happens all the time. It's the absolute insanity of our self-righteous, work-righteous hearts that constantly want to ignore the inheritance that God has given us and try to achieve it on our own. It's the insanity of modern spirituality that ignores everything about God and what he has said and thinks that by working hard enough or trying hard enough, even Hinduism, and the Eastern religions with reincarnation, go around how many times a bug this time you get stepped on, maybe you tried hard as a bug, you came into something else, and then you're born as some higher life form, and finally after all these reincarnations, you reach nirvana. And Americans hear about nirvana and they think it's heaven. It means blown out. It means nothing. It's like may the force be with you. You go around all those times and do all that hard work and finally you're blown out into nothingness. You're no longer a person. It's all gone. It's a demonic joke. And this is why, because we're in this culture where it's like we're walking through a barnyard and we're picking it up on our boots and we smell like this, we can't get it off our clothes, it's in our hearts. Work righteousness. We need the Holy Spirit's guidance today to follow the faith of Father Abraham. And first of all, find the full faith and credit that God alone can give. Father Abraham, you consider him one of your ancestors? Biologically speaking, you look at it in the Bible, there were a lot of nations that came out of Father Abraham, not just the Hebrews, not just the ancient Jews. But more importantly, Paul has told us already in this letter to the Romans, he'll get into this more in chapters 9, 10, and 11, but back in chapter 2, Paul, who is a Jew himself by birth, he also says this, a man is not a Jew if he is only one outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a man is a Jew if he is one inwardly, and circumcision is circumcision of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a man's praise is not from men, but from God. And Paul was not making this up just to establish a New Testament religion either. One of the oldest prophets in the Bible, you go back to the famous one, Moses, 1500 BC. Moses, the most famous prophet of the Jews, he said this in one of his last sermons to the Jews in Deuteronomy. The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live. To be a child of God and a descendant of Father Abraham means to trust in the God of Abraham. And then you're a Jew, a Hebrew, in the most ancient, fullest sense, by believing in the God of the Hebrews who had a plan to put that nation there and shine the gospel like a beacon to all the nations of the world. This is the praise that comes from God. The only praise that counts when God says, this one is mine, this one has my name in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in that word-powered water. That's the praise from God. And that makes you a child of God and a child, a descendant of Father Abraham. Full faith and credit. You hear much about that lately? Full faith and credit guarantees our currency. It's on our money. It's a full faith and credit clause that stands behind all the money that we have in this country since we have no gold standard anymore. And it is absolutely there to back up the banks and apparently also the stock market. You've heard a lot about that lately. Used to be all in the abstract, only stories that you maybe remember from your childhood, your grandparents or your parents in the Great Depression. Now we're getting a whole lesson in reality about how quickly wealth can be wiped out. Full faith and credit. A lot of talk. A lot of lesson in real life. And it makes it very clear why Paul said this to Timothy in his first letter. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, isn't it? So uncertain, wiped out in a matter of minutes by decisions made over a relatively short time. All that wealth gone. It's so uncertain. Yes, the Bible said so. But put your hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. If you would look at Father Abraham in the backdrop of these words, you would see someone who by every measure was rich in good deeds. You look at the way Father Abraham took care of his family, the yearning, the love that he had for his family, the way he protected his relatives, rescued Lot and his family with his own trained army. By every stretch, by every measure, he is rich in good deeds. And so, in a human sense, he would have every reason to boast. He had bragging rights. But not before God. That's why the scripture clearly says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to his account as righteousness. And then he goes into this which if you've ever got a paycheck, you understand this. When you've spent your time on the job and you've worked hard and the day comes for payday, is the boss just being nice to give you that signed check that is your pay? No, he owes you. And it's protected by law. Your wages are protected by law because when you have worked, that's a contract that you are owed. Same with God. The wages that God owes us would have to be paid. Just not the wages we think we can earn. If Father Abraham, with all his faith and all his richness in good deeds, did not deserve the credit that was put as an inheritance into his account, what did he deserve? The wages of sin is death. And you can see Abraham's sin. A couple of times he lied, remember that? Sarah, tell him I'm just your brother, that you're just my sister. Because he was afraid. Sarah's a beautiful woman. I might get killed. They'll take you. So let's just... And she was half-sister. It's okay with God that they were married at that time. There was no law against that. But they lied. And liars don't inherit the kingdom of God. He put his faith in that descendant, the seed, through whom the Lord would bless the nations of the earth. And by that faith, God justified him, counted that faith as righteousness, and wrote it in God's ledger in heaven. This one is justified, this one is mine, and his descendants too, who all trust in the God of Abraham. So what is given then, it's not in wages, it's pay, it's a debt. But if the person, instead of working, believes in him who justifies or acquits the wicked, in the NIV it says, or ungodly here, that's a really between-the-eyes statement there. The wicked, the ungodly ones, are the unbelievers, and God justifies only the ungodly. Because that's what we all are by nature. God commends his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The end of this same chapter, it says that Christ was given over into death for our sins and raised to life for our justification, to be declared not guilty before God. Very clearly, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He gives us the opposite of what we deserve. And it all sounds so academic. So theological, till you go through some time in your life when you're really up against it, and it is really hard. Like when you've worked hard and played by the rules and paid your dues and done your job well, and then you get laid off anyway. Is that fair? I can remember one individual talking about how that job was so quickly replaced with another that right at work, there was a beautiful confession of faith there at work. This is what God did for me. Not long after that, the second job was lost. And no new job to fill in right behind it. And a whole different reaction. Can we thank God for our afflictions as well as for our blessings? And trust our Heavenly Father to know what He's doing? What is fair if God is going to be fair with us? You hear some of these stories like that Wells pastor's son who was one of four collegiates in a car and he was the only one wearing his seatbelt. They all walked away from the crash. He's a quadriplegic. Every time I see him, he's in kind of a wheeled bed chair and he's got his fingertips that can run the joystick to get his chair around and he can still talk because above the neck, he's got that. Is that fair? Early 2000s in Minnesota, one family lost three sons in a single car accident. Another lost three daughters on their way to their brother's wedding rehearsal. Both accidents caused by drunk drivers. Why was it that both of those families looked upon this and used those tragedies as an opportunity to glorify Jesus Christ and to talk in our news and media about the resurrection and their hope in that? How did that mother of three daughters sing at their funeral? There is victory here, and the world does not understand it. But if it was all by the punch and the power and the condemnation of the law, we could not stand up under that because the wages God would have to pay us would be death. But the gift of God credited to our account in Jesus Christ our Lord, this is full faith and credit from God. Why would you want anything else? Why ever in your mind and heart, though we struggle against this work righteousness day after day after day, why would we ever trade the perfect holiness and righteousness that God gives us by grace for this imperfect, flawed wickedness of ours, which can never be as righteous as God demands? Follow the faith of Father Abraham, full faith and credit, because in him we have this promise, this gospel promise, so filled with grace and mercy from God. He talks about the law here. It's not by the law that Abraham or his descendants received the promise that they would inherit the world, but it was by the righteousness of faith, the righteousness that faith takes hold of and makes its own. Because the law is the way to inherit, if the law was the way to inherit, then faith has been made worthless, it's empty-handed, and the promise has been made powerless. There's no reason for God to make those promises or to give you an inheritance if you're going to change your name and move away and never step up to claim it. If God gives you this wonderful blessing of everlasting life, better than any lottery you'll ever win, and you rip it up and don't tell anyone? If it was all by the law, then faith is made worthless, the promise is powerless, for the law brings God's anger on us. Literally, it says the law works wrath. Honestly, before my text study this week, I was always thinking about the law works wrath in the sense of if you constantly are after your kids with God's law, it's finally going to make rebellion. What they need is law and gospel, sin and grace. They need a good balance of that firm, consistent love of God. And we do in a congregation too. I suppose Wednesday, when the service is finished, if some of you were here and remember, I'm standing here ready to call the ushers forward, and I'm looking out with these eyes that are just getting worse as time goes on, and people are waving these envelopes at me. And, you know, it took a little bit, but it finally clicked. The plates were still on the altar. This is a congregation where when the pastor forgets, the people don't just shove it in their pocket and head home. I can think of congregations where that would happen, and I can bet you that if we were constantly after that, it's like a couple of guys going out on Wednesday, I thought that the church was just supposed to be after our money. When we know the love of God in Christ, if the pastor forgets, these are offerings we're giving to God in love and thanks to Him. But one of our professors always said that when the days that he would say, there are the Northwestern Lutherans on that table, pick one up and read it, the harder he came down on that, the more copies were left on the table. If it was just known that they're there and he let people just pick them up, then they picked them up. That's what I always thought this was about. The law works wrath, our wrath against God. There is biblical proof about that because by nature we're hostile to God. But really in this context, it's the other way around. And that's why in this translation it says, therefore, the law brings God's anger on us. But if there is no law, there is no If there is no law, there is no breaking of the law. If the law is not there, then God's anger comes on us because he sees us breaking that law over and over again. Speaking of laws, do you remember when we were going to rid ourselves of dependence on foreign oil back in the 1970s? So some of you can't remember. But do you remember that, those of you who could drive at the time? I was just starting. Why were they so mad out west? Out in those wide open spaces where the federal government said that they would withhold highway dollars from any state that would not put up the signs that said 55. You go ahead sometime if you like. I'd suggest you be all by yourself when you do it. Try the open stretches of open range in Nevada or Wyoming or Montana at 55 miles an hour. In fact, if just try it in Minnesota, drive to the Canadian border and don't ever go over 55. Maybe you can see why, with a law like that, Montana came up with a plan. This is how I heard the story. It cost $40 at the time, if I remember the numbers right, to process a ticket. So they let it be known that during those months, right before the end of the year, they were going to get the quota, $5 a ticket. They started pulling people over, $5, $5, $5, until they had their quota. Everybody went on their merry way, and the U.S. dollars came for highways as well. That's how man's law works. The law is there. Until that law is passed, there's no violation. But boy, until the law is applied, then there's a violation. If you drove at that time across the state border from Minnesota into Wisconsin, those guys had the highway signs up that said 55 means 55. As a teenager, I didn't like those signs either, but that's the law. And the law works wrath. And break the law, and wrath has to come down from the powers that be. It won't work on God's highway. It will not work on the highway to heaven. The Lord says there will be a highway there. This is through Isaiah 700 years before Christ. It will be called the way of holiness, the highway of holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It will be for those who walk in that way. Wicked fools will not go about on it. John in Revelation picks up on a lot of the thoughts from Isaiah's prophecy. In John 21, or Revelation 21, it says, "But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars," not that highway to holiness and highway to heaven, no. Their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. You're driving along on God's highway. That car has to stay perfectly between those lines on your side at exactly the right speed and never turn off to the right or left any other way. It has to be perfect driving. Anybody like that here, even in a car? 55 puts you to sleep real quick. My brother that drove in Bogota, Colombia, came back to the States, and he had a hard time staying awake on U.S. highways because they just don't drive the same in America as they do in South America. It was crazy down there, and he learned to drive crazy like the rest of them. It was a lot easier to stay awake if your life is just about that far away from the end all the time. On God's highway, that's how we have to drive: perfect, holy, just right. I think that's why the church up the road here had a sign out there some months ago that said, you know, well, if Jesus is your co-pilot, trade places. If Jesus is your co-pilot, trade places. Nobody can drive the way God expects us to drive. Nobody can drive us home to heaven the way only Jesus can, to know the way, to stay on the way. If Jesus is your co-pilot, trade places and let him drive. Isn't that what Abraham did as the father of us all? When the Lord said, "I have made you the father of many nations," standing before God, Abraham believed that God makes the dead live and that he calls into being that which does not exist. Like Isaac, the son to old Abraham and Sarah, that made them laugh because his name means laughter. Laughter at themselves and laughter in the grace and mercy of God who could give them the son of the promise even at age 190, respectfully. Abraham 100, Sarah 90. Miracle! God calls things that are not as though they were. That which does not exist, he calls into existence, like the son of the virgin who would be our Lord Christ and suffer and die and rise again for us all. He calls into existence that which does not exist, like streams through the desert of your life when you feel so alone in the wilderness, at work saying what no one else will say, but it's got to be said, so you say it. Or so alone because everybody else has gone out and all you've got left is God. The job is gone, the boss is gone, the workers don't care, everybody goes on their merry way, and you're left feeling, doesn't anyone care about me? Here, the streams in the desert are the comfort that come from God's word. This blessing from God who calls things that are not into existence. Let there be light, and there was light. And the works that you and I do, the good works, good in the sight of God and prompted and powered by Him in our hearts through the gospel, these good works that take our offerings of time, talent, and treasure and give them to God to spread His word, this makes the streams flow in the deserts of other lives so that they too can come to faith and trust in the Lord, the God of Abraham. This gracious promise, this guarantee, the full faith and credit of God. Cash the ticket every day. Follow Jesus all the way. Amen. Please rise.